Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with Sue Detweiler, and she is a wife, mother of six, author, radio host, and pastor with more than 25 years of experience in leadership, ministry, and education. She is also a popular speaker who shares her heart and wisdom internationally on issues related to marriage, family, women, prayer, leadership, and ministry. Sue and her husband, Wayne, recently relocated to Frisco, Texas to plant LifeBridge Church north of Dallas. Welcome, Sue, to our show. And today we're going to talk about your most recent book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace.
I'm so glad to be here, Rose. This is great.
That times, or those times when your prayers aren't answered the way you want them to be answered. You know, your loved one passes away, or you get diagnosed with cancer, and they say it's treatable but not curable. So, how do you counsel or encourage?
Our prayer life is a journey, and the starting point is God. And it's through those painful things that we get to know God more. And what God does is he takes you through the pain, that he's the God of the resurrection. So all of those painful things, God can raise you up and answer the lifelong, eternal perspective of his goodness.
Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I'm here with Sue Detweiler, and we are talking about her book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And if you want to know more, go to your website, Sue Detweiler, S-U-E. And then Detweiler is DetweiLer.com.
Talking about, I wish I had a copy of the book.
Yeah, I wish I did too.
Is there sadness?
Let's see, it says, what happens when prayer to God goes unanswered? How can keep your faith strong? Disappointment,
so
loss?
Okay. Just what do you do with disappointment and loss?
Yes.
And
okay.
Then let's just talk, because Rose, I sense the power of the Holy Spirit. I really do, and I don't want to miss this.
I know. I mean, I don't like to be all emotional.
No,
but
I think it's the Holy Spirit.
There are people that are going through this, too. And
I know.
I mean, I'm doing good. I go to work. And okay, so.
No, we need to talk about this last chapter.
Okay.
Disappointment and loss. It's one of my favorite chapters.
Okay. Okay, we're back into the mode. So how do you deal with that person that has experienced disappointment and loss?
You know, loss is something that we all go through. And the depth of loss, I know when I lost my father and the pain, I was only 30 years old. And I was pregnant with my fourth baby, and I was there realizing that he was never going to see my fourth baby, and he never met my fifth or the sixth. And that loss of my dad, I miss him every day. And I know that there's people that are listening that you've experienced loss. And one thing I want to say to you is that don't rush through the grieving process. Because when we talk about the psalm, that though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, he promises, I will be with you. And the way that he's with us when we go into the depths, there's such a sweetness of his presence. He's with us. So one thing I'd say is give yourself permission to grieve, and that's okay, and that you've lost. You don't have to get things better. You know, I know for my mother, my dad had a really wonderful word when he was in the hospital and he knew he was passing. He said, have your mom get a place near you. And so she came down helping me with my children, and she had purpose. But I mean, she had an entire year of just plain grieving. And one of the things she talked about is the anesthesia that comes,
yes.
You know, uh-huh. that it's like a Holy Spirit anesthesia. You go through things like a funeral and you don't feel everything.
Right.
You're kind of numb. And it's on purpose, because if we felt all the pain of the loss at the moment, we couldn't even get through it. So what happens is the Holy Spirit anesthesia comes in and we can get through things, but then it's going to take us time to unpack, you know. So every Christmas that comes around, every birthday that comes around, every special, that person is lost. And yet as Christians, we know that our loss is their gain.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. And there is, we both, last year I wasn't here because my dad was dying.
I remember, Rose, yes.
Well, he came back from NRB, and my brother, it was my brother, Dr. Tooley's, I think he interviewed you. It was his father too, but I'm the oldest, so when these things happen, I tend to be the one to take care of business. And when he came back then, his mother passed away on the same day that my dad passed away. So we both...
I'm so sorry. It's a painful thing, isn't it? You know, I want to really encourage the listeners that the last chapter of my book, you're going to really identify with that chapter. It's about overcoming disappointment and loss. And a really good friend of mine, Rhonda Robinson, she lived in the cornfields with all of her children, her many children. I think it's 9. And she was a columnist who wrote about life. And so she was well known. Her husband's a police officer. And they were just living the life and the dream. And so one day they had gone away for a routine surgery for one of their children. And so when you have a bunch of children, what happens is the other kids, the older kids, are kind of in charge.
That's right.
And so they get this call that they need to immediately go. There's been a wreck. And so as they finally, and it's a terrible snowstorm going on, as they finally walk into the hospital and they are taken back to talk with the chaplain, they found out that not only had their son, who was 16, been driving the car with these 4 boys in it, but that their 13-year-old Daniel was in the car and he hadn't survived.
Mm.
And so in a moment,
yes,
she went from this happy mom of all of these children to a grieving mother.
Yes.
And people couldn't quite understand it. And because it wasn't like she could get back to normal.
Yes.
And everyone wanted her to get back to normal, but there was no normal without Daniel. And the breakthrough that she had, that shared in the book, is really her breakthrough was praise and worship. It was that she could not in her mind comprehend and settle it. But she knew that it was a good God. And so she stopped doing all the questions, the why that we all do. And she just took it. And it was almost like she could feel Jesus lifting her head up as she worshiped. And I would just say that to a listener. If you're going through a tough time, it may feel like the last thing you want to do. In fact, you tend to hang your head. But He's the glory and the lifter of your head. And it's when you're able to praise God in the middle of a deep, dark depression and a loss that you find him.
You're absolutely right. We are dealing in our community, and this was a little boy that my sister did babysit. It was such a freak accident. It was just this October. He was on a hayride playing with a stick, and the stick grabbed the wheel and pulled him under.
Oh, how horrible! How old was he?
He was what, 3, 4?
Oh,
yeah. He had just turned 4.
Oh,
and you know, of course, I went and told my sister, who was devastated. You know, even though she knew she was on her deathbed, but. What has been interesting, I'm very close to the family, is the fact that the mother and the father are both grieving differently. And I think we have to.
That has to be okay for people to grieve differently. And people do grieve differently. And, you know, to find the way that you grieve. I was unusual in how I grieved.
Yeah, and that might be your next book. Or maybe.
Oh, I'm going to write a lot of books. Well, one of the ways I grieve for my dad is that I did radio. And I did a radio tribute to him where I told all the stories about his life. And then I wrote a devotional guide. And for some people who that may seem like, wow, that seems like a weird way to grieve.
Well, and some people might be impossible. How do we do that?
I know. You know? Well, the thing that helped me was the telling of the story.
Yes. Well, we have to take a break right now, but we'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How can I help people get ready for Jesus' second coming?
Wow, that's what I call a missionary-minded question. You're concerned about others, a trait you share with the greatest missionary ever, Jesus Christ. So, what can missionary-minded young people do to help people get ready for the second coming? The very same things Jesus himself did when he walked the dusty paths of this earth. Acts 10:38 reports, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How do you get the Holy Ghost to join your team? Just ask. The very first thing he'll do is point out any habits or character traits in your life that would hinder your missionary work, like selfishness, dishonesty, lack of patience, or prejudice. Then he helps you overcome them. Next, you're ready to heal the oppressed, which means show people a better life. This is accomplished by doing good. Doing good might mean preaching, teaching, singing a song, offering a friendly smile, helping a neighbor, collecting food for the hungry, befriending a new classmate, or simply praying for someone.
I'm going to put my missionary mind to work right now.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Hoffy, when are we going to get through this jungle?
Don't. No.
Hoffy, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Bobby, let me see.
The strap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin,
And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion.
Yes. You know, and so it may be, there's a lot of comfort at a funeral, for example.
Yeah.
When you sit around and you tell funny stories
about
that person, and you just laugh and laugh because every person has their unique quirks, and you know, they're so unique. You can't replace them. They're irreplaceable.
Yes.
But I think whatever way you can tell the story, maybe you journal your memories, maybe you talk together, but telling the story of that person's important.
It is. The little boy, that funeral, it was probably one of the most difficult ones I went to because he was so young. Now, both with my mother and my father and my sister, each time we made it a celebration of their life. And in our family, we call it the bluegrass band. Mm-hmm. And so people would come to the celebration of life and actually come away so blessed. You know, they would say, we actually don't feel sad anymore. We actually, you know, it was so uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
But this little boy, it was. Mm-hmm. Of course, it wasn't me doing the funeral. You know, it was
right.
A different perspective, and I
right.
have to respect that too.
And then the mother,
she doesn't want to have memories around the house. And the mm-hmm. father wants to have pictures.
Right.
So you have, you know, and even in a family,
yes.
you have people grieving so differently.
Yes, you do. You do. And how to allow that. You know, one thing that Rhonda, my friend, in losing her son, she had a conversation with God one day. And God said to her, you know, if I would tell you that you would get this beautiful, precious boy for 13 years, but then you would miss him for the rest of your life, would you say yes? And Rhonda was like, yes, I would cherish those 13 years, even though I'd miss him the rest of my life. And there was something about that settled her, that there was a peace. And you know, I really would encourage that mom and dad, you know, they're going to grieve differently. But they need other people with them that are grieving.
They totally believe in the blessed hope. You know, they both have that hope. But it is a trial.
It is. And the wonderful thing is that anytime you lose someone, you're closer to heaven. And the beauty of heaven is we bring heaven to earth. And so we're just passing through. We're citizens of heaven, not here. So if you feel when you're going through loss that you're longing for more, you are. You're longing for an eternity that we've yet gone to. And the promise in eternity is that he wipes away every tear. And that there's no sorrow, there's no loss. And there's a part of us in our frail humanity, we long for that. But part of our longing is for eternity.
Yes, and I think every time, I mean, I've gone through three deaths where I've been in the room and, you know, either holding their hands, singing to them, rubbing them. I do feel God's spirit there. I feel just as... just that same profoundness of when a birth happens.
It is.
They're folding back to God.
Yes.
And it is a very sacred, you know.
It is.
I might cry about it.
It is.
But
and I've been at many deathbeds.
Yes.
And there's a difference when a person knows God.
Yes.
And is surrounded by those who love.
I mean, you can literally feel the Holy Spirit. Spirit there.
You can do that, yes.
You know, my listeners are so gracious. They I often often get a little emotional because of God's Holy Spirit, and I really appreciate you going the extra mile and doing another show on this very important topic, because unfortunately people are being diagnosed with terminal illnesses. They're facing tragic experiences. You know, we're running to and fro. I mean, it's the last, we're in the last days. God said, men shall, you know, there'll be rumors of wars, and men shall run to and fro, and then the Son of Man will come. And so our urgency is to say, come on, Jesus is coming soon. We're sowing in tears, but
we will reap in joy. Yes. And we do. We reap in joy. And that is the promise. And that's what else I'd like to say to your listener. Those of you that you're just sad, you're so sad, and you feel like there's not joy around the corner, I just want you to know there's a promise that he's going to replace your sadness with his joy. And you can't make that happen. But as you go through the process, being kind to yourself, because you need to do that, whatever it means to be kind to yourself, if it's taking a bubble bath, do it. If it means getting away, do it. Be kind to yourself in this time.
Yes.
Try to remove from your calendar anything that's extra. Only do those things, because right now, if you're going through grieving, you don't have the same emotional breadth.
Yes.
It's taking more energy to grieve. And so it's like you need to cut back your calendar and allow yourself the time to grieve.
Yes. It's much easier said than done, but you do need to do it.
Yeah.
So with that, we probably have come to the end of our show. Hate to say goodbye, but thank you so much, Sue. This
Rose, I'm
message,
so glad.
I'm sure, has such an important important meaning for my listeners, and I look forward to our next time together. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.